CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump trial underway on Daria Aldinger. Opening statements have ended and the prosecution witness, the first one, has been called in Donald Trump's hush money trial. ABC's John Santucci says former National Enquirer CEO David Pecker briefly took the stand just before court adjourned for the day.
He's going to come back to the stand tomorrow, but nevertheless, it just shows the speed to which Judge Merchan is moving these proceedings with the fact that openings are done. We're already on the first witness for prosecutors.
Pecker is a friend of the former president, but he's been called by the prosecution. Mr. Trump, meanwhile, speaking to reporters outside court today, says he plans to clear his name and fulfill his obligations.
I'm here instead of being able to be in Pennsylvania,
Civic Media,
lots of other places campaigning.
The court is in recess until tomorrow morning. It adjourned early today in part because one of the jurors had a dental emergency. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Biden administration is unveiling new federal standards for nursing home staffing. Vice President Kamala Harris making the announcement today in La Crosse.
One of the character traits of real leaders is to have some level of compassion and concern about the suffering of other people and then want to do something about that. That's the work of these workers that we're talking about right now.
The new rules mandate a minimum number of hours that staff members spend with residents. They also require a registered nurse to be available around the clock. The state of Wisconsin is in good financial shape, according to the latest Wisconsin Policy Forum report. State debt is the lowest in 25 years, and reserves set a record last June. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. If you live in western Wisconsin, you may see small planes flying overhead starting in May, spraying treatment to prevent the spread of spongy moths in certain areas. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection will target areas across the region to remove the invasive species in their caterpillar form, including Barron, Chippewa, Dunn, and Rusk counties. That treatment will span from May to early June, after which a new substance will be sprayed to target the adult male spongy moths. Construction on I-35 near the Atkinson Bridge in Carlton County begins this week, creating some changes on the road for drivers. The northbound lane of I-35 will be closed to install new guardrail supports, which the Minnesota Department of Transportation says should take about a week to complete. Beginning in May, the highway will switch to single lanes in both directions for the remainder of the project. Officials expect to complete the construction sometime in September on the over $4 million renovation. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Milwaukee wins game one. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Indiana Pacers had beat the Bucks 4 out of 5 games this year, and with Giannis injured and unable to play, the odds were against the Bucks. But Chris Middleton stepped up with 23 points as the Bucks held on to win 109-94 over the Pacers. Damian Lillard scored 35 points just in the first half. Head coach Doc Rivers.
He carried us. He was unbelievable. You know, we worked on setting picks just to give him room. It was really good.
Game two in Milwaukee tomorrow night. Baseball, the Brewers in Pittsburgh tonight after sweeping the Cardinals over the weekend with a 2-0 shutout over the Birds, thanks to pitchers like Colin Ray, Brian Hudson, and catcher William Contreras.
You know, Colin's very, very consistent, and when he's not, William pulls him in to give us 5+, and then the job that Huddy did, you know, a little bit underrated, you know, like, you know, he almost didn't make the team out of spring training, and that kid's been great.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Clouds increasing today as high temperatures strike the low 60s. Thanks to the southwest winds pulling in the warmth but gusting up to 30 miles per hour. With an elevated fire risk today, it's a good thing that showers roll in by this evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not.
You would just start freaking out.
Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Tuesday, join me and my good friend Sandy Williams for our regular conversation. We'll discuss the Ukrainian aid package and more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom.
What's up, Wisconsin? I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Lots going on over the weekend. Just a couple, two, three, four bills that got big votes. We'll talk about them. But I wanted to start, of course, happy Earth Day to everybody. We got a whole lineup this week to celebrate Earth Day and all that Wisconsinites love to celebrate about the places that we walk, hike, fish, camp, and just hang out together. We are a state of outdoors people, and so, of course, we want to conserve those beautiful outdoor environments that we all enjoy so much. So happy Earth Day, happy Earth Week. We've got a very special guest coming in today, Dr. Ann Getson. She was at COP28, which is super cool. I'm going to ask how a family physician from Wisconsin ends up at COP28. And we'll also talk about how, you know, our relative success at conservation is affecting the health of you and your family. Whether you live up north, Apostle Islands, or down in the Racine and Kenosha areas, we'll talk all about that today. Again, special guest for this Earth Day and this Earth Week, Dr. Ann Getson, later today. Also want to begin with a observance, of course, of Passover. For those that aren't familiar, and I'm sure Anya will help me fill in the gaps here, this is typically a celebratory day for people in the Jewish tradition. Most literally the passing over of the plagues as Jewish folks back in the day marked their doorways, often accompanied by the saying, "Let my people go," celebrating the freedom of Jewish people. Of course, today that marred by the fact that 100 Israelis remain hostages in Gaza, and we still don't see a solution there. So a bit difficult to celebrate, but I certainly wanted to begin with a very mindful and intentional observation of Passover. So, of course, to my friend and producer, Anya, I wish you blessings.
Yeah, Passover. Pesach Sameach to everybody. A blessed Passover, and may this time come with lots of stress passing over us and hopefully some passing of some freedom to a hundred some folks being held hostage right now. Yep.
And of course, in many ways, I think some folks celebrating the aid package to Israel that was passed this weekend. The how we got here to the four separate bills that were considered over the weekend by the U.S. House of Representatives, it is quite a fascinating tale. And it of course, I'm going to give you some of the wonk on all this stuff. If you would like to express Passover blessings, if you would like to join our conversation as I dive into the how did we get here? How did the votes come down on some of, I think, the most important aid votes that we've seen come out of our U.S. Congress in probably the last couple of years? These were votes, again, by the U.S. House this past Saturday. If you want to reflect with us, you want to, again, have some Passover blessing, you've got questions for me or Anya, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And before we get into the meat of the votes today, I wanted to share with you that I just randomly decided, because I just bought one of these for myself, I like to do a lot of walking. And in celebration of Earth Week this way, I'm going to give away 3 of those trash picker arms because I have now taken to carrying one with me when I walk along with a garbage bag. And I clean up a few things as I walk along. If you would like to get in on a drawing for one, trash pickers in celebration of Earth Week, funded by yours truly, Maggie Dawn. All you need to do is use the Civic Media app, which is free and you can get from any app store, and go ahead on and text us. Give us your name, confirm that you texted through the app, email, and a phone number that you'd like to be contacted at in case you win. We'll be giving those away on We'll get in touch with you, 3 trash pickers, so that you too can be part of the solution and not the problem in celebration in a very small way of Earth Week this week. Anya will keep track of that for her and I. But again, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You want to qualify, you got to text in through the app, which is free from your favorite app store. With that, all of the business of the day concluded, let's dive in. We're going to start with some of that old Mike Johnson sound. So this is Mike Johnson. This is going to be cut 2A. This is Mike Johnson and his stance on aid to Ukraine back from December. Now, keep in mind, the United States Senate passed a combination aid package that dealt with the Indo-Pacific, mainly aid for Taiwan, aid for Israel, and aid for Ukraine back in February of 2023. And after that package, which topped $90 billion, Mike Johnson did nothing as Speaker of the House to bring those various aid packages, either in one vote or multiple votes, to the House of the floor. He did nothing, largely at the direction of President Trump, whom, again, for reasons that remain speculative at best, deeply worrisome at just sort of medium test, and oh my gosh, why is he shilling for Vladimir Putin, hair on fire concerned, for some set of reasons, Mike Johnson doesn't move on any of this because Donald Trump told him not to, basically. So let's start with, so February passes, March, April, May, June, July, September, I forgot, August, September, October, and November, finally December. So like 10 months, nearly 10 months, 8 months, 10 months tick by. And Mike Johnson, this is December of just this past year. This is what Mike Johnson is saying about aid to Ukraine.
Just had a good meeting with President Zelensky. I reiterated to him that we stand with him and against Putin's brutal invasion. The American people stand for freedom, and they're on the right side of this fight. What the Biden administration seems to be asking for is billions of additional dollars with no appropriate oversight, no clear strategy to win, and none of the answers that I think the American people are owed. We need a clear articulation of the strategy to allow Ukraine to win. I have also made very clear from day one, we needed a transformative change at the border, that our first condition on any national security supplemental spending package is about our own national security first.
So, a bit in there, right? First of all, here's the strategy. Don't let Putin take over Ukraine. Like, that's the strategy, Mike. And whatever we need to do to stop that from happening, that's the strategy. Here's another strategy point. Don't let Ukrainians fighting for freedom run out of bullets. That's the other strategy. We heard, I think, a week ago now from Dr. Yoshiko Herrera on my show about the fact that that was imminent, absent this aid package finally going through. Now, it's going to take some time to release that money to Ukraine. But here's been my point all along. As Mike Johnson twiddled his thumbs, literally fiddling while Rome burned, Nero style, the Rome here being Ukraine and Kyiv. Russian troops were advancing this whole time. And so from a fiscal effectiveness standpoint, that justification doesn't wash, right? Because for every inch of territory that Ukraine has had to cede over these last 14 months before Mike Johnson found himself some conscience and a backbone, they've been losing territory, and Ukrainians fighting for freedom have been dying. It's going to cost us in pure tax dollars more to help Ukraine get that territory back than had Mike Johnson put up a clean bill for Ukraine funding back in February of last year when the Senate first adopted it. So this, oh, we need fiscal accountability, blah, blah, is just that, blah, blah. It's absolutely unconscionable. Now, somehow between that statement was made on December 10th, 2023. And this past Friday, Johnson literally found Jesus or whatever, or your God of your choosing, and found some kind of religion, came to terms with the truth. And by Friday, we're going to listen to cut 2B. This is what Mike Johnson was saying. We're going to hear it. I promise. Here's what Mike Johnson was saying just this past Friday. This is cut 2B. Don't go anywhere. I promise. We have it. Everybody, hang on. Johnson this past Friday. Notice how the tone has turned.
Need just 1 second here.
Because we did this process, we got a better outcome here. We have a lot of innovations that the Senate did not consider. We include the Repo Act, which, as you know, is the use of corrupt Russian oligarchs' assets to help fund the resistance in Ukraine. We introduced the loan concept for the governmental assistance part. It'd be provided in a loan instead of a gift. We also included some really important sanctions on Russia and China and Iran, which I believe is the new axis of evil, and many of us do, and they are the ones who are the aggressors in this situation. The reality here is that if the House did not do this better policy and process, allowing for amendments on the floor in the process tomorrow, we would have had to eat the Senate supplemental bill. And that is because we were very close, given the timeline in both Israel and Ukraine, to a discharge petition being brought.
So you added some things to this bill that you could have done anyways in a separate standing piece of legislation. And no, the number didn't even change for the aid for Ukraine from the Senate number. That's all blah, blah, blah. There's nothing materially different. There's nothing that prevented the House introducing those things that he talked about. And by the way, calling it a loan is hilarious. So here's the question that I'm left asking. And if you're on the lines, if you want to answer or pose your own question about how the hell did we get here, I welcome it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What changed, Mike Johnson? Like, how do you go from no way, never over my dead body to, well, we've got to do what's right here, and Russia's part of the new axis of evil? This should be a fair question that every conservative is asking, as well as every American. What was going on for the past 14 months, Mike Johnson? What caused you to see the light now? I would like to know. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Just a couple of really important messages, and we're going to get back into the important stuff right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Busted pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day-to-day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through AI detectors. There's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Busted Pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
off.
That's
not... What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules,
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not.
You would just start freaking out.
Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You don't own me. Don't say I can't go with other
boys. Welcome back, Wisconsin. Don't go with other boys, namely Vladimir Putin. I don't understand. There is no explaining why Mike Johnson sat and did nothing for 14 months while Vladimir Putin advanced further into Ukraine. And we've nearly, our failure to act, Mike Johnson's failure to do what was right, has now placed Ukraine on the brink. And now, here's another quote. This is from last week from Mike Johnson. I really do believe the intel and briefings we've gotten. I think Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go to the Balkans next. I think he might have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. The intelligence experts have been saying this since Russia invaded Ukraine. They've been saying this since he took over Crimea in part years ago. This is just so disgusting to me. And now, and I understand strategically why a number of Democrats praised Mike Johnson, because they didn't want the vote to get blown. But all of a sudden, when he said last week on Wednesday, oh, we're going to have four separate votes, one for Ukraine, one for Israel, one for Taiwan, one for the other stuff, the Putin caucus in the House of Representatives, which is Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and a bunch of the other wing nuts, freaked out and threatened to pull his speakership. They're still mad. I'm talking Boebert, MTG, Mr. Massey, Mr. Roy, Ralph Norman of South Carolina, a bunch of these people in the Rules Committee. This is the wonk part. So when you are Speaker of the House, your party controls committees. You end up with a majority number of seats in every committee. The Rules Committee of the House is what sets the agenda and determines what bills will even be heard by the House. You're the party in control and you're the speaker. You basically tell the Rules Committee, these are the bills that I want voted into consideration. Guess what Johnson couldn't get? He could not get a majority of the Rules Committee. It had been historical tradition for the last 30-odd years in the House of Representatives that the party out of power never votes in favor in the Rules Committee to advance the bills of the other party when they're in control. You get what I'm saying? So like Democrats, while Mike Johnson has been in control, traditionally, or Republicans in control of the House, would never vote for their legislation to come to the floor, and vice versa. But this was so important that Mike Johnson needed Democrats to even get the thing to the House floor. I mean, this is nuts. It's sort of like if your opponent in a soccer game all of a sudden turned around and started to help you score goals. Like, that's what happened. Because the wing nuts are cozying up to Putin. And by the way, I cannot make this up. I had to go like fact check this about four or five times because I couldn't believe it. Saw it Politico, The Hill. This past week, like late Thursday into Friday and over the weekend, the pro-Putin caucus, the far, far right, the Boeberts, the MTGs, the Gaetzes, created what they called in the House the Floor Action Response Team to be able to be on the House floor. If, you know, some bill they didn't like, they tried to sneak through. Yes, folks, the acronym there is FART. This is real. That's what they came up. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. I'm sorry to make flatulence jokes, but it's, again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie.
Puns roll in. I mean, Mike Johnson can't smell himself into a good vision. So, Democrats voting on a procedural motion to get a bill to the floor, like, never happens when they're out of power. Likewise, Republicans. But not only do they vote, this is for this speaker, this retrograde anti-abortion Christian nationalist, frankly, MAGA speaker of the House. I would like to know why. Why did he wait? What's so precious? And by the way, it was this whole procedural wrangling that ended up with Van Orden, our Wisconsin's own, and Matt Gaetz calling each other names on the House floor. The pinnacle of, you know, grown-up, what we expect from our grown-up state, you know, U.S. representatives. Gaetz apparently called Van Orden squishy, and then Van Orden called him tubby back. Wow. We can't even get him to not name call on the House floor. That's what we're dealing with. And the vote ended up coming down, this procedural vote, 316-94 to bring aid packages to the floor for vote. Wow. Ultimately, 165 Democrats voted for the measure, more than the 149 Republicans that voted for it. I mean, Democrats are the only adults in the room. People say all the time, I want government to work for the middle class. I want reasonable, sensible policies. I want us to do what's in the security interests of our country. I want people to behave like adults. I want compromise. Well, guess what? Tubby and squishy here and the fart caucus in the back pocket of Vladimir Putin aren't the adults in the room anymore. The Democrats are the adults without exception on every question. Chip Roy, of course, lost his marbles that they were going to take up these four votes separately. It's just Kentucky Thomas Massey. Now, we're going to get ready. I want to take this Anna Paulina Luna clip. This is number three. I think we've got time. So this is on Matt Gaetz's little podcast or whatever. This one with Anna Paulina Luna, who's sort of from the commentariat on the right, had this to say.
So I'm just going to tell them.
Yeah.
So I heard that if and when the motion to vacate is introduced, that there will be immediate resignations of a couple of more moderate members of Congress. And in the event that that happens, that ultimately means it does go to a Democrat speaker. And so we're in a predicament.
We're going to take that sound again when we come back. But just remember that is Anna Paulina Luna talking to Matt Gaetz about what their temper tantrum might cause, which is Democratic control of the House. They finally figured it out. You might actually have to adult in Congress. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join the conversation. You've got thoughts or questions. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
An award-winning Wisconsin author wants us all to slow down and respect the values of small farming communities. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food news for a Monday. Author Jerry Apps has penned a new book with that as his focus. Details next.
Imagine planting, tending, and raising your crops all season long, only to discover a micronutrient deficiency is robbing your yield potential. Once you spot signs of nutrient deficiencies, it can be difficult to bounce back. Get ahead of manganese, boron, and copper deficiencies with Moxin from CHS. Designed with a patented Levisol chelate, Moxin increases nutrient availability and provides your crops with the nutrition they need. Ask your local CHS retailer about the power of Moxin.
Wisconsin author Jerry Apps has just finished a new book that, instead of teaching us about our barns or cheesemaking, it asks the question, what is the future of our small rural farming communities? Apps says at this stage in his life, he's concerned about the values we are leaving behind.
I'm at a stage in my life where I said, what can we do about it? Well, I'm just going to sit here and watch all this go apart. I've been trying to help farmers now for all of these many years, and I'm supposed to sit here and see it all come apart? Right. I can't do that. What are the questions we need to raise, and who needs to raise them, about where we are going? And I'm especially excited about focusing on the family farm, because I grew up on one. Maybe I'm prejudiced, but I still think there are values and beliefs that come out of the valley of, out of the family farm, in addition to the food and fiber that's produced.
Jerry Apps, his new book called On Farms and Rural Communities, An Agricultural Ethic for the Future. You can listen to my whole conversation with Apps online now at MidwestFarmReport.com.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And welcome to Earth Week. And of course, Wisconsin Agriculture wants you to stay engaged in the dialogue. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation is hosting three free webinars this week, today, Wednesday, and Friday, starting at 11 a.m., focused in on some of the tools and technologies that production agriculture is using today to capture carbon credit, for example. You can sign up at WFBF.com. Just search for Earth Day Webinars. That's a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Monday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Clouds increasing today as high temperatures strike the low 60s. Thanks to the southwest winds pulling in the warmth but gusting up to 30 miles per hour. With an elevated fire risk today, it's a good thing that showers roll in by this evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now it's 62 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brewers tickets for Friday. You could be the winner. We hear from the mother of an organ donor and an organ recipient from Versity. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn, listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm talking about the votes taken this past weekend by the U.S. House of Representatives. Basic four bills plus a fifth. We'll talk about that one. You got Ukraine, you got Taiwan, you got Israel, you got the other stuff plus TikTok bill. And then you also had the resuscitation of a bill that was nearly mirrored the ultra conservatives, ultra far rights immigration bill that was introduced earlier and also failed to pass. But what I've been focusing in on is the Ukraine aid vote, because MTG has been flitting about talking about the motion to vacate, which is a motion to remove their speaker, for a while. And as soon as Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, came out last week and said, we're going to take each of these aid bills up, that was the first big news, because he had been delaying for 14 months while Putin marched further and further into Ukraine and more innocent people died as freedom was eroded in Ukraine more and more. 14 months he waited and waited and waited because Donald Trump didn't want him to adopt Ukraine aid. Why? Again, the rationales for why Donald Trump cozies up to Vladimir Putin go from the banal to the absolutely existential. But he finally got around to it as soon as he did this, as soon as he said, we're going to move these bills forward, we're going to take a vote, we're going to separate Israel and Israeli aid for Israel and aid for Ukraine and aid for the Wingnut caucus, the Putin caucus in the House started to threaten a motion to vacate. So there was this interesting conversation between this conservative talker and Matt Gaetz on his own blog, basically. This is Anna Paulina Luna talking to Matt Gaetz about removing the speaker. They finally figured out, oh, hey, maybe some of our conservative colleagues that have a conscience and understand that Vladimir Putin is, in fact, evil, a dictator that kills women and children, jails all opponents, regardless of whether or not they've actually committed a crime, has people assassinated, and is now threatening NATO. Hey, some of our conservative friends might object if we try to move to vacate to get rid of yet another speaker. Here's what she said.
So I'm just going to tell them.
Yeah.
So I heard that if and when the motion to vacate is introduced, that there will be resignations of a couple of more moderate members of Congress. And in the event that happens, that ultimately means it does go to a Democrat speaker. And so we're in a predicament.
No kidding. You actually have to adult when you get to Congress. You shouldn't just turn your brain off and seek whatever gets you the most clicks, whatever ingratiates you to the former MAGA president. You have to actually do on occasion what's right, not performative politics that harms people, threatens democracy, threatens freedom, threatens NATO. It just, the whole thing disgusts me. And I'm going to try to get this sound again with Anya. This is what, this is 2B. So this is Mike Johnson. Just this past Friday, I'm going to cut it off right after the beginning, but I want to listen very carefully to what he says at the beginning. I think it's this cut. If it's not, we'll figure it out which one. Go ahead, Anya. This is Mike Johnson on Friday.
Because we did this process, we got a better outcome here. We have a lot of innovations that the Senate did not consider.
There's that. And then this is Mike Johnson back in December. Again, listen to the first part very carefully.
Had a good meeting with President Zelensky. I reiterated to him that we stand with him and against Putin's brutal invasion. The American people stand for freedom, and they're on the right side of this fight. What the Biden administration seems to be asking for is billions of additional dollars with no appropriate oversight.
Okay. No appropriate oversight. What possibly could that mean? Might it be that Republicans in the House of Representatives keep trotting out the idea that Ukraine is actually a hotbed of like Nazism and Nazi activities, and that it's just so corrupt it's beyond any redemption. Might that be what the speaker was blithely and generically referring to? Because, oh, no kidding, that's, guess what, guess who's pumping that idea out into the ephemera? Russian propagandist. It's being used, that line of logic that Ukraine is the cesspool of corruption and this hotbed of Nazism is what Vladimir Putin is telling the world to justify his illegal occupation and invasion of a foreign nation. Which, just FYI, the president of Ukraine, other than Benjamin Netanyahu, is the only other Jewish president in the world or head of state. So I'm going to go with no, Nazis aren't running Ukraine. But there is an entire faction of these Putin, this Putin caucus within the House of Representatives that keeps saying this. Representative Dan Crenshaw, a Republican from Texas, admitted this, that Donald Trump's enforcers in Congress, these far, this Putin caucus, quote, want Russia to win so badly that they want to oust the speaker over it. Representatives, again, these are Republicans, Mike Turner of Ohio and Michael McCaul, again, another Republican from Texas, who chair the House Intelligence and Foreign Affairs Committees, respectively, have each accused the Matt Gaetzes, the MTGs, the Chip Roys, this nut, this Putin caucus in the House. These Republicans have called their own Republican colleagues in the House of Representatives of mainlining Russian propaganda and echoing it on the floor of the House. Disgusting. And we have an example of it. Marjorie Taylor Greene, last week, this is April 17th, not 5 days ago, in a quote, line of questions, basically lays out the case that Ukraine's just a cesspool of corruption and it's run by Nazis, okay? But she's talking to an actual expert. Let's take a listen when a nitwit meets someone who actually knows what they're talking about.
You want to talk about misinformation, Mr. Snyder? You might actually look a little closer to American media if you don't like what they're saying. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
Mr. Chairman, does he have the opportunity to respond to the gentlelady?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
I didn't ask him a question, Mr. Raskin.
You asked multiple questions.
First of all, I'd like to thank the representative from Georgia by making clear with her comments and with her person that any discussion of political warfare has to include Russia, Ukraine, and America. She's just demonstrated that point, I think, very powerfully. On the question of Nazis, I've written two books as a historian about Nazis and the Holocaust. On the question of Ukrainian nationalism, I am the leading scholar of that subject in North America and have been writing about it for 20 years. If the chamber is interested in the degree of far-right participation in Ukrainian politics, you can be assured that no far-right party has ever crossed 3%. 3% in Ukrainian election. So, of course, there are bad people in every country, but by any comparative standard, is a very small phenomenon. In Russia, on the other hand, the army includes openly Nazi formations, such as Urushich. The government itself is fascist in character, and it is carrying out a war which includes deportation of children by the tens of thousands, the open intention of destroying a state, as well as mass torture. So if we're looking for fascism, and if there is anyone who is sincerely concerned about halting fascism or racism, you would wish to halt Russia.
I think that's what they call a mic drop. He might as well said, you stupid fool, at the end of it. But, you know, as much as we call it out, as much as it may get lampooned, this is dangerous. These are members of the former Republican Party that used to be foreign policy hawks. That, again, Ronald Reagan rolling over in his coffin. Why this subservience? Why this turning over, the handing of the keys of the Republican Party to Vladimir Putin? It doesn't make any. It's so dangerous. And it has no relationship to fact. They're just parroting Russian propaganda shamelessly over and over and over again. So why did Mike Johnson all of a sudden abandon that wing of his party? I would like to know. Because something's different. And I'm not going to ascribe it to, oh, he finally got an intelligence briefing. Well, is this like, you could make a biblical analogy to the New Testament, the non-believer, that you have to see it for your own. Are you that pedantic, Speaker Johnson? You can't believe the summary reports of the intelligence community? You didn't already know that Putin was an actual threat? He couldn't be that intellectually immature, could he? And that guy's speaker? And by the way, on the House floor this weekend, Marjorie Taylor Greene, leading the Putin caucus in the House of Representatives, introduced an amendment to zero out the aid to Ukraine. And guess what? 71 Republicans voted for it. 71 Republicans in the House of Representatives today are instruments of Vladimir Putin, are advancing Russia's agenda in the U.S. House of Representatives. You want to talk about threatening American interests, threatening our freedom? 71 Republicans voted to zero out aid to Ukraine. All of them should be gone. Every single last one of them. There is no principled defense for that vote. Not a one. And this garbage that has gotten trotted out about the border, well, we only need to listen to another Republican. This is going to be cut four. We only need to listen to another Republican getting asked the very question by Neil Cavuto on Fox News to know that that is but an excuse and garbage and more blah, blah, that it has no relationship to actual fact. This is Senator James Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma, on April 18th, not 4 days ago, on Fox News with Neil Cavuto. Let's take a listen.
I know you're not trying to zing your colleagues, but it's your colleagues in your party, sir, who torpedoed this, who didn't get the facts right on what you just outlined was in that measure. They killed it. Ironically, not Democrats.
Right. It was painful to be able to watch it. It got stirred up in all the presidential politics, and several of my colleagues started looking for ways after President Trump said, don't fix anything during the presidential election. It's a single biggest issue during the election. Don't resolve this. We'll resolve it next year. Quite a few of my colleagues backed up, looked for to be able to shoot against it, and then walked away. I get that. That's a decision everybody makes in it. My issue is if we're pursuing everything, we very often end up with nothing. If we're pursuing someone coming later to fix it, later seems to never come. When we have a moment to fix things, we should fix as many things as we can then come back later and fix the rest.
That's on Donald Trump, Senator.
That, again, he's got an office that he's running for. He's got a campaign that he's running. I'm already in office. I've got a responsibility to be able to carry on this.
Yeah. It ain't about the border. There was a bill that would have done that. You just heard that from Neil Cavuto on Fox News and Senator Tom Lankford 4 days ago, April 18th. We're going to listen to that again when we come back. I'm going to tie all this together because we got some folks right here in Wisconsin that we need to hold accountable in our own congressional delegation. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about Ukraine, and we need to know how our representatives voted. Did they vote against American interests? Are they part of the Putin caucus in Congress? I'll answer that question after these important messages.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
off. What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
not. You would just start freaking out.
Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Will I run to the rock? Please hide me, I run to the rock. Please hide me, I run to the rock. Please hide me, Lord, all on that day. But the rock cried out, I can't hide you.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Getting some great feedback online. Jeff from Short, I see your contributions. Lynn from Oconomowoc. And John from Hubertus is pointing out, I'm too angry. I think, John, I am angry. And maybe I need to moderate that. I'm going to take your comment to heart. But this stuff is the stuff to get angry about. I've been trying to put moments of less intensity into the show. I'm going to continue to work on that. I appreciate your feedback. This is so bad that I don't know how to have an emotional reaction other than the heartbreak that I feel that comes across to you all as anger, but I am heartbroken that it has gotten this bad. That members of Congress just spew out Russian propaganda. That members of Congress are willing, in my opinion, to violate the oath that they take to show some sort of allegiance or subservience to Donald Trump. And again, the explanations of why he bends the knee to Vladimir Putin range from the benign and ridiculous to the existential for our country. This is sad. This is a moment to be angry about. And again, this garbage that this is somehow about immigration is belied by Republicans in the Senate and in the House that actually wanted to get something done about immigration. This was Senator Lankford and Neil Cavuto just this past week. They're talking about the immigration bill that Donald Trump killed. We'll listen to it one more time because this is why I'm so mad.
I know you're not trying to zing your colleagues, but it's your colleagues in your party, sir, who torpedoed this, who didn't get the facts right on what you just outlined was in that measure. They killed it. Ironically, not Democrats.
Right. It was painful to be able to watch. It got stirred up in all the presidential politics, and several of my colleagues started looking for ways. After President Trump said, don't fix anything during the presidential election, it's the single biggest issue during the election, don't resolve this, we'll resolve it next year. Quite a few of my colleagues backed up, looked for a reason to be able to shoot against it, and then walked away. I get that. That's a decision everybody makes in it. My issue is if we're pursuing everything, we very often end up with nothing. If we're pursuing someone coming later to fix it, later seems to never come. When we have a moment to fix things, we should fix as many things as we can then come back later and fix the rest.
That's on Donald Trump, Senator.
That, again, he's got an office that he's running for. He's got a campaign that he's running. I'm already in office. I've got a responsibility to be able to carry on this.
A responsibility to do your job. I mean, I should say. Now, I promised you before the break that I would share how our Wisconsin congressional delegation voted on Ukraine. on the funding for Ukraine, because this is the litmus test. Either you're bending a knee to Donald Trump and you are part of the Putin caucus and you don't give a whit about freedoms or American security, or you want to be counted on the right side of history. That's it. This was the vote. Are you with Vladimir Putin, or are you with the United States and those that believe in freedom? That's this vote. Let's see how they did, shall we? Scott Fitzgerald, no on Ukraine funding. Mike Gallagher, yes on Ukraine funding. Glenn Grothman, no on Ukraine funding. Gwen Moore, yes. Mark Pocan, yes. Brian Steele, no on Ukraine funding. Tom Tiffany, no on Ukraine funding. Derek Van Orten, no on Ukraine funding. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Republicans in our congressional delegation, and 5 of them voted against Ukraine funding. In other words, voted against freedom, against doing what's right, and labeled themselves, in my opinion, forever as part of the Putin caucus in our House of Representatives. These men, all of them men, don't deserve to be congressmen. And the only Republican that voted for Ukraine funding is the one that's retiring, dipping out before his term is over. And by the way, Mike Gallagher stuck around. He was going to be out on Friday or Thursday this past week. It was going to be his last day in Congress. He stayed to make the vote on Saturday because he understood it was a vote for freedom. I don't get it. It's just so scary to me. Tom Tiffany, here we go, tweeting Friday, $95 billion in foreign aid with nothing to stop the foreign invasion of our own country. No, Tom, there was a bill. Ask Senator Lankford, ask Fox News, ask Neil Cavuto. It's Donald Trump's fault that we're doing nothing about the border. If you're concerned about it, you too can stop forest fires. I mean, call the bill that the Senate passed or almost passed that the Senate introduced on the border. Tell Donald Trump to go kick rocks. We're not going to sacrifice American security because you happen to be in an election year. And again, spewing this lies and this hate about Ukraine being some hotbed of Nazi activity. Nope. The number one expert in the country, Dr. Snyder, says that's a bunch of garbage. Zelensky's parents, he's Jewish, the only other Jewish head of state other than Netanyahu, and his parents were Holocaust survivors. These were immoral votes, in my opinion. Forget the pot. There's no policy justification for those. Immoral votes. Here are immoral congresspeople. Scott Fitzgerald, and Grothman, Brian Steele, Tom Tiffany, Derek Van Orten, all bending a knee at the altar of Vladimir Putin. Gene, you got just about a minute. Make it snappy. What do you have to say this afternoon?
I'm saying outstanding job. The people need to hear this. I watch too. To my stomach. These people are traitors. They don't care about the people in our country. I don't know what the devil they care about, but it's just outrageous, the lies and the Russian propaganda that they spread, and they get called out on it, but they don't care. They just keep it going. They're the agent of chaos. If they're going to take out our country, they're going to do it from the inside.
And that is the truth, spoken by Gene, a regular listener and caller in Claire. I appreciate it. Gene, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to take some important messages. You got news, weather, and sports coming up. Then we're going to be joined by Dr. Ann Getson to celebrate Earth Week together. Remember, if you want...
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, Pete Schwabba.
On the next show, we celebrate a famous Wisconsin tradition. You guessed it, polka music. And Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. busted pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day-to-day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through AI detectors. There's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Busted Pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.